Hey, AfterBuzzers, we are talking Season 1, Episode 2 of Life Sentence, and we have two very special guests for you today. It's Marlene and Aiden, and they're having a baby, so we have a lot to talk about, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
My guy, pretty like a girl.
Yes! This was such a good song. Like
I love this song.
Like I'm stroking.
All sexy.
I like this. Right. I like it a lot.
This is a sexy song.
This is so sexy.
This is Alicia's song that she picked, so we love it. We love it so much.
Yeah. A friend of mine produced that song. He did good.
Yes. Really good. He did really good. We love it.
Thank you, Vic.
Shout out, Vic.
Let's do it.
Hey guys, I'm Carla Belchin. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're so excited to be talking about tonight's episode with our lovely guest. We have Alicia and Jason.
What's up?
Blair in the house.
And our lovely panel, we have somebody new today.
Yes, guys. I'm Maddie Makely, and you can find me on all my social media at Maddie_Makely.
Hi, guys. Hi, After Buzzers. We're so excited for today's episodes with our special guests, Alicia Oxy and Jason Blair.
Woo-woo. I know. I'm super excited. I've been excited all day, guys. And you know who I am. Monique Loveless.
Yes. Does that mean that you don't love nothing?
Yeah.
Loveless. You know what? It's a conversation starter.
It is.
Everywhere I go, no matter where I go, somebody always says something about it. And when I first moved here, everybody was like, is that your real last name or is that a stage name?
You're cold.
I'm from Ohio. Yeah. I'm like, what's the
Michigan.
Stage name?
Michigan.
Kentucky.
Midwest.
Indiana?
Michigan.
Okay.
Detroit, what's up?
Hold on. No. Buckeyes, what's up?
Midwest represent.
Midwest,
and
yes.
You guys, introductions?
Oh.
Oh, what's up, y'all? I'm Jason Blair. I play Aiden Abbott, the lovable older brother. I mean, I think I'm lovable. I don't know.
I think he's lovable.
Yes, you do.
Very lovable. I mean, Marlene thinks you're so lovable. I think you're lovable, too. Alicia Oxy, I play Marlene.
Yeah.
She's all kinds of sparkles and fun.
Yes, she is.
Yes, by the way, we already have people in the chat that are like, Aiden, woo, Aiden.
What up?
Yeah.
Yes. How you doing?
People in here are like Marlene.
Yes, we're so excited about Marlene.
No, I think they want Aiden to be single. Everybody wants to maybe be Marlene.
Oh my gosh, that should be the first question out the gate. Are you single?
I am not.
In real life.
In real life, we're on the show.
I was like,
I'm right here. Yeah.
Like, have you
in
seen
real life.
In real life.
Well, I've been dating a girl for almost 2 years.
A beautiful, lovely lady.
Beautiful, nice. Sweet, sweet little angel baby that's growing up into a woman.
I mean, that sounds... is a woman.
Yeah. Little angel baby that grew up into a little angel woman.
An angel woman, yeah.
Oh,
she is sweet.
All kinds of adorable and...
Yeah.
Delicious. Can I say that?
Yes.
Have you
definitely.
Tasted my girlfriend?
Delicious was on the... And I was
things
like,
are
oh.
Getting real weird over
we
like,
are.
Like,
we're going to get weird... About Claudia.
Yeah.
So, Marlene, you and her are cool then. You guys are on good terms.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, awesome.
Well, ironically.
They knew each other before.
Yeah, we knew
did.
Each other
yeah.
before. Okay. And no, we and I knew. Oh. We always forget about that show we did that we don't want to tell anybody about.
Oh, that. Yeah, we won't mention that.
Yeah,
ever.
We did a show together about 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did this pilot. But Claudia and I are in the same class together. Same class that Jason was in as well, but he was out.
I'm back in.
Yeah.
You're back in. And now I'm out.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
And now you're out. Yeah.
How did you guys find the project and what about it was most interesting for you guys?
Well, her best friend wrote it.
Yeah.
One of the creators. So she had the inside scoop before I did.
Yeah. I did. Well, she pitched the show to me like 2-3 years ago and it was the first time that I was like, this is your 7-year show.
Right.
I got chills when she told me about the show. So it was so cool just to be along for the process. I had no idea that I would be a part of the show. It was so like secondary last thing, but I remember her testing you for the show and you getting the show. That was really cool. It was really cool to be on the journey of how they cast everybody. And I was just, it was a joy to just come play in your guys' sandbox.
Yeah, it was, I mean, the way I came across it was end of January and pilot season, super stressful for actors, really crazy mm-hmm. time. And I remember getting a script and I sat down to read it, and I just lost one of my aunts to cancer a few months before.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
And I remember reading it. I was like, oh, God, this is going to be tough to read. And I laughed and I cried and I fell in love with everyone. And I fell in love with Aiden. And I said, there's no way that I'm not going to play this part. Yeah. And I went in and I auditioned. And it was straight to the producers. Aaron and Rich created the show. Aaron left right before I read. She came out. She goes, I just had a baby. I have to go home.
Yeah. And you're like, no,
yes,
no.
I have to go pump. I'm so sorry. I'm like, okay. But I really want to do your job. Yeah, now I lost this opportunity. I need them both in the room. Mm-hmm. And I went in and read with Rich and Jennifer Cooper, who was casting. And Jennifer actually gave me my first job ever in TV. It was a guest star in CSI New York, where I played this tattoo artist from New York called Y Monster, covered in tattoos. It's pretty fun. But I went in, I read, and I thought it was a good audition. It could have been a little bit better. And they were going to test me. I had some people on my side. I had a couple people that weren't really convinced. I went in for a work session before you test. And I remember walking out of there, and I felt so good because I had the actual opportunity to do a little more work on it. And I walked out, and they all were just like, Jason, thank you. This is your role. And I walked out casting and told my team what went on in the room. Yeah. Like, the couple mm-hmm. people that weren't convinced go, oh, my God, you are absolutely right. Because I actually had the opportunity to do the work and come in prepared and take the job. Mm. Yeah. And there's no way that I wasn't going to play this role. So I fought tooth and nail and...
Right. Do you, I have this question. Do you, in any way in your real life compare to your character?
Oh, God. Actually, I'm British, first of all.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Like, that'd be amazing. That'd be amazing.
Is he playing it right now?
No, I'm just actually dumbing, yeah?
Yeah.
There's some similarities. You know, I think the fun parts of me are a very big driving force behind Aiden, this very playful quality. And I'm also oddly intellectual with knowledge. Mm-hmm. And Aiden plays very dumb, but he's actually really smart, which is something that I'm very good at in my real life. I kind of cover my pain with humor, very similar to what Aiden does. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. As the show evolves, we'll see the root of kind of what's driving him and where that pain comes from and why he has that pain and how deep that really is. We saw a little bit in the second episode between Aiden and his father. Mm-hmm. And we'll see a little bit more as to how the cancer has affected him mm-hmm. at a very young age. You know, it's Lucy, who plays Stella. Stella, she got diagnosed at a very young age of 17. Aiden was 19. So she's the love of his life. It was a baby sister, the woman, mm-hmm. the only woman that he loved and wanted to protect. And he idolized her. And once she got this death sentence, I think Aiden internalized that is all women that I love are going to eventually die.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of why, I mean, that's how I interpret it as an actor. And that's why, you know, that's why I'm justifying not getting close to married women, because, you know,
there's no commitment.
Yeah, yeah. There's no commitment. Yes.
Like, the unavailable woman. Yes.
Have to sleep over. Yeah. Like, this is great.
I have to say, though, that breakdown does give me a little more respect for him.
I, by the way, had your back from the beginning.
That's right.
I'm just going to say, I was like, he is not a loser.
Aiden's just taking his time to figure it out. Everybody was focused on Stella and her mm-hmm. development and progress and to have a good life. So now I think you see the rest of the family now trying to pick up the pieces. Like, they didn't have time to nurture and make sure Aiden fall back on these.
Yeah. I feel like you both had pretty big revelations in this episode. And I feel like, you know, Felicia, I remember in the scene, you were like, I'm turning into my mother. And I was like, oh, God.
She's like, I can't do this. I have to go right now.
It's so funny.
Yes. All girls have felt that way before at some point.
That you fell in love with a drug dealer?
Yeah.
What am I doing?
No, but that realization when you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm turning into my mom. Like, hold up. Take a step.
And that's the thing, right? Yeah. So in mythology, the daughter becomes the mother and the son becomes the father. And the daughter that becomes the mother eventually ends up marrying their dad. And the guy eventually ends up marrying their mother. I mean, not literally, but they find these qualities that maybe they hated about their parents. And that's what they end up with because it's what they know and it's what's familiar. And it's a very subconscious thing that affects humans on this deeper level, and it's all based on mythology, and it's all super factual. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. So does Marlene?
Go ahead.
So does Marlene's thrive help Aiden with that?
So Marlene, her character offers Aiden some things that we're gonna see coming up in episode 4. Mm-hmm. That he didn't know that she provided, and she helps him in ways that he never knew could be possible. So there's some really fun, lovable things and some incredible growth that comes up through Aiden, through Alicia's character, Marlene. And it's kind of beautiful to see how her character affects his character and how she helps him grow and become a man in some ways.
Mm-hmm. And take more responsibility for growth. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a sister in real life?
No.
Oh, you don't?
I've always wanted to have a sister.
And have you dated a boy with a sister before?
I dated a boy with a sister before?
So, like, has your back 100% because of she?
No.
No?
I'm like, yes, I've dated one that I don't know if they had my back. Yeah. I mean, my husband, now he has three sisters. And yes, they're amazing and wonderful. But I think every character in Life Sentence has their own life sentence, and even the supporting characters. And you're seeing how you kind of either overcome or sidestep your delusion and dysfunction and the life sentence you've set up for yourself, because we've all set up our own life sentence. And I think for Marlene, just the example of her coming in, the whole mom thing and stuff, I think she's always wanted a baby, and she's married. She married the guy out of college, and she's stuck in this life sentence, and she hasn't had a baby. So to Aiden is like the emotional guy, because think, he's very emotional to get his married women. So to us, he's really available until she's all of a sudden cured. And now it's like, where do we sit in this relationship? Right. And now the presence of a baby, what does that do to Aiden's character? And so
there's a couple people in the chat that are asking, do you guys think that you guys will actually develop a real love? And will you leave your husband?
I guess you have to watch and see.
To show you the whole thing right now, guys?
I will say that in the pilot that you didn't get to see like too much of, my husband does show up. But Marlene, this is her fairy tale. You know, like romantic movies that she's watched, it's like The Fault in Our Stars, like the cancer movies where there's a happy ending, and now she has plopped herself into a real life fairy tale. Marlene is really excited to step out of her life sentence. Whether or not that's a responsible thing to do, we'll find out.
Right. And how, before we recap the episode, because we didn't have to do that, how would you say that you relate to your character Marlene?
Well, she changed from the pilot to like the rest of the season, but she is Southern. She's optimistic. She's hopeful. She is delusional in how she wants to deal with her problems. And I think that we can all kind of attest to that. And I do really love the idea of romance and hope. Like, I, as Alicia, am always the inspiring, hopeful, like, but yes, but what about this? And I feel like Marlene is that character. So that's a big part of me, I think, infused in her, where wherever there's sad moments, like, look at the pilot. I joked around that I made sound effects all over the pilot, but I did. So anytime there was a gloomy moment, you had Marlene being like, woohoo! We're like,
stealing moments. It's so good. She was like, really beautiful moments you brought to it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I like her. So yeah, I think the optimism, and then I think the confusion that comes along with big emotions. There's always, I think, confusion that's underneath them, and how much you sink into showing your true colors. Marlene, I think, puts her best foot forward, and and does her best to go with her gut and her feelings, which I wish I could live my life more like that. Obviously, she is not constrained by the constitution of marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
She is attaching herself to her emotional state, which she likes to be in a happy state. And Aiden
that's
does
how
that.
She justifies
yes.
the yeah. adultery.
For me,
everyone finds a way.
She's always wanted a baby, and now she's pregnant. Like, for me in the pilot, I was like, this woman is a soccer. Like, I had it that he was dealing Adderall to her at soccer games, in which she was there watching other people's kids because she doesn't have one. She's like that kind of person. So to have Marlene be pregnant, like, this is all she's ever wanted.
Yeah.
So of course there's going to be a fairy tale ending to this in her mind.
Mm-hmm. And I love that, that you're not just a face for Aiden. I do love the fact that they're making you a part of the whole show, and they're adding the whole baby part to it. I think it's super exciting. So congratulations.
Well, what makes you grow up more than having a baby?
Right? So we're really excited to see, hopefully, Aiden grow out of this face, I hope.
Really?
I think Aiden's a winner, just so you know.
You like those bad boys.
It's like you're a good version of the 80s bad boy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a lovable version of the 80s bad boy.
Yeah, I'll take it.
By the way, getting to the episode, but one of the castmates, your castmates, Nadege?
Nadege!
She said yes!
Hi, Nadege!
I apologize.
I love you, beautiful woman.
We're getting her in here. We're going Nadege.
Yes, Nadege. For those of you who don't know, Nadege plays Sadie, and she is just fantastic.
She's wonderful. A lot of heart.
A lot of heart.
Okay.
We're so excited. Well, before we actually start the recap of the episode, I just wanted to go ahead and let you guys know that if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, for those who do, we have a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know that it was us, Life Sentence, who got you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out.
She's like a big sister, you guys.
She really is.
Speaking of sisters.
I know. Speaking of sisters.
I feel like for this, you know, it's the episode started and it said she for 8 years ruined their lives. And this episode, she was determined to make it all up to them. And it was interesting to see how each individual person, she tried to make it up to them.
She really did. It was honestly, this show makes me want to like become a better person towards my family in general, because I feel like whenever you guys are having family dinner, and I think that this is probably for everybody, the family dinners just like look like probably everybody's normal family dinner.
The
tension. People are like talking.
There's a giant elephant on the table.
Yeah, just right there.
Yeah, it's just.
But
there.
You guys handle it so well with humor.
Families really do.
Should learn from that and add a little more humor.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that we were wrong person. For the record. Last time we were wrong, the father is on for the season.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Cool. I know. I was like,
that was IMDb. Sorry.
Yeah, all good.
Yeah, IMDb's
it's
all screwed up on there right
now. Yeah, it says he's on 2 episodes.
Yeah, it says I'm on 3 or something.
Yeah, okay.
Dylan's sticking around. He's so lovable and the best dad ever. Don't you want him
to be this episode, I was so glad that she stuck up for him. She was like, I'm taking his side. Like, clearly, you're delusional. You need to go back with Poppy and live your vivacious life.
Go thrive.
That was the best thing ever. And I actually love, I loved that part about this episode, how, you know, when she was like, well, you have to choose a side. Mm-hmm. And she chose his side.
Yeah. Also interesting, the juxtaposition of characters of the mom and dad. Right, you can be literally under the same roof and have the same experience and walk out and view the thing entirely differently. Yeah. Yeah. And it was interesting from the dad's perspective. This was like his home and where all of his memories were and where his family was. And then mm-hmm. you see at the end, and I think the mom had a really big, beautiful moment in this episode.
She did.
Where it
she
was did. So painful for her.
Mm-hmm.
For
it was.
All of the reasons.
It was really nice to be able to see how she actually felt, because for this whole time we thought that she wanted to get rid of the house because she wanted to start this new life.
She's like the villain.
We thought she was a villain. Mom? I was like, what the heck, mom?
But then the villain still has heart. I think that's what, like, I think it's really, the show's tackling everybody's dysfunction and how they, like, step aside from their feelings in a really effective way.
Yeah.
And you're able to see everybody's sides. And the next few episodes, I think, do that beautifully with every family member. I think that every family member has a moment to kind of come full circle with their grief.
Yeah, it definitely delves into why people are the way they are. So in the second episode, which you so eloquently put, we actually, you know, in the beginning of the episode, we don't understand why the mother wants to sell the house, why all these things happen. You see the flashback and you understand how she viewed it. You see the chip where the hospital bed took the paint off the door. Yeah. And you see all these painful moments for her because, you know, this show is told through Stella's point of view. Mm-hmm. So that's why everything looks really beautiful and light and fun, because that's how we made her feel. Mm-hmm. Because we lied to her and protected her and coddled her. Mm-hmm. But when you see the flashbacks, like in this episode, you see how the mother felt. You see how the father affected the mother and why she wants to be away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Because she wasn't allowed to be emotional. And because he was afraid that Stella would see that and understand what was really happening to her. And in the next episode, we see a little bit, there's a flashback that's just so beautiful about how our parents went to bat to get her in this clinical trial. And you see Aiden kind of voyeuristically seeing all this happen in the hospital. That's really beautiful. And then you start to see these flashbacks that give you a lot of information to how it affected other characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes the show so beautiful, because it helps you understand. You know, the show's called Life Sentence, which if you didn't know the show, it was a show about prison and going to jail or whatever.
Right.
And that's what I thought, until you understand the show and you see that Life Sentence is each person. Cancer, even though she's cured, she has a life sentence on how it's affected her.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone in the family has a life sentence of how it's affected them.
Mm-hmm.
So cancer's with you forever, even though it's cured. What it has caused and how you think because of it.
And the decisions you've made.
Yeah. And the lies that you've told, you live with forever.
I think they really hit the nail on the head with Stella's position with every member of the family.
So, yeah.
Because, you know, a daughter and father have that kind of bond. Anyone who's been a daughter, all of us, knows that that's just a thing. And moms and daughters butt heads, but you know that it comes from a place of heart, just because moms have, you know, they just care. I don't want to say they care more than dads, but they just, like, are so over
maternal.
Love there, and especially with the brother and everything. So, and I think we can see in Stella that she just feels bad for, like, everything that she's
caused,
put everyone through.
Yeah, so she's trying to make it up. She is
trying
to make up for it. This episode was great. Like, the story, I said this last week. The writing is so
strong.
Guys,
kudos.
I have never, like, honestly, stuff. It takes a lot to catch me in pilot season. I think that's for a lot of people. It catches, it takes a lot to really catch you in pilot season. But the story is written so well.
It is.
Like, each storyline, even though it moves pretty quickly.
There's so much that happens in one episode.
There is.
It's like
this episode,
everything's finished by the end. There's new problems next week.
Right. We explored everybody from, you know, them actually having, like we had to talk about last week, them actually having to learn Wes. Quickly, because of the deportation.
Yes.
And seeing their relationship, and then Aiden and Marlene having, you know, it. Last episode, I feel like they didn't. It was a lot of humor for him, but this episode, I feel like it really kind of touched the heartstrings with him too. As far as, like, okay, now you have something real in the picture. You have a baby. Mm-hmm. You need to, like, step up.
We'll see.
But you also got the hand on the shoulder from the dad.
Oh,
like,
my God.
That is such a touching moment for me, where you, like, fought for that, and then I love that there was no words. He just touched you. That was,
and he automatically knew. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still feel like there was still some seriousness there for Aiden. Mm-hmm. And then Marlene finding out, like, hey, I'm like my mother right now. It was everything is, even though it moves quickly, it's written so well. Mm-hmm. And really I love that about that.
Yeah.
So, quick question. I didn't know this, but they're saying, how do you guys feel about the slight backlash of homophobia? Not to insult, of course.
Is there a backlash?
I've seen comments, you know, parents will watch it with their kids, and they're like, lesbian, this or that.
Oh, Ida and Poppy?
Yeah, I mean, guys.
I didn't see any of that.
There should be no backlash.
It's 2018. 2018. I was actually so happy when I read the pilot that we were exploring a woman just exploring her sexuality.
A middle-aged
woman who has devoted her whole entire life to her three kids. I'm a mom. I will speak about this. And all of a sudden having a moment for her to breathe and think about, what do I like? Who do I like? What? Mm-hmm. And why can't you explore your sexuality in a dramedy on television? Like, that's...
She's devoted her whole life to caring for her sick child. Mm-hmm. And now that our daughter's cured, she has an opportunity to find out who she is in the world. Right. And, you know, a man has pushed her away from the marriage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she just happens to have a connection with a woman.
Yeah. And they're going to explore that. I'm just so glad that everybody's getting a chance to reinvent themselves. Like, they've been given a life sentence.
Reinventing the Abbott.
That is the title of the show.
That's such a good way to wrap it around.
I really like the way that they shimmied that in there, though, and that they made it a bit different twist and having it be the mom. They didn't have it be, you know, millennials, you know, just having fun and doing their thing. Like 2K18.
A hot mom,
too. Yeah. A MILF. And exactly. So, like, I'm happy that they kind of did it from that perspective instead of a cliche, you know.
Yeah.
And the modern family, the way the modern family is today, there should be representation of that on television. We need to reflect art imitating life.
Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like they do. Lately, they've been doing it with men mostly in shows. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of the first that I've seen it touch on, like,
we don't get women.
Hardly get women, like, especially even with network. Modern Family.
Yeah,
Modern Family. You know, it was men with other shows. It's been men, but it hasn't. So I don't see a problem with it.
Yeah, I was a regular the new normal was two gay men married, had their surrogate, which was my wife, and they're having their baby through her. So I'm pro all of that, you know, and I do not care about any backlash.
How about on the show, the backlash on the show from all the kids? Who do you think has the biggest problem with the mom coming out?
Stella.
I think Aiden's like, mom.
Right. Aiden's like, okay.
Go for it.
See, the interesting thing is everyone has conflict with each other.
Yeah.
Aiden has no conflict with anyone. Even the father thing. He understands. We learned in this past episode, Reinventing the Abbotts, that he understands why his father is the way he is to him and feels the way he does about him, but he rationalizes it, and it affects him, but he doesn't hold a grudge.
Yeah.
You know, the father holds a grudge against him. Stella gets mad at Aiden. Elizabeth gets mad at Aiden. Everyone gets mad at Aiden. He doesn't get really mad at anybody else, really.
But he can't. Can he? I mean, he's being taken care of.
I think he can. As a kid, he felt like he was invisible.
Well,
like, and that's a big thing. And he felt that the role that he was put into is the role of the disappointing one, the loser. Mm-hmm. And I think in life, we all have roles in our families, and that's sort of what you were living probably up to on some
as the older
and
brother.
He medicates with women and drugs and humor.
Especially when he's not getting that kind of support that he needs, especially from, you know, his dad or anyone for that matter. It's something that he needs or anyone needs. But I feel like he's like seeing girls as a scapegoat for that.
Yeah, you know absolutely. What I mean?
So,
will he step up to the plate now that Stella said that she finds him as her idol?
She did take it back.
I feel like that has to be somewhere in his mind after he got the shoulder tap from his dad, and she said she came at the end and said, "You can do this." She wanted him to step up for Marlene.
The thing I love about the show is, like real life, even though you want to do something and people believe in you to be something, it doesn't mean that you're programmed to become that.
Mm-hmm. Immediately. It takes time and change and progress.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So our show's true to life in that way. We're going to see Aiden evolve in a lot of ways, but I hope that he never becomes a saint. That's just not fun.
Nobody likes perfection.
As an actor, yeah. I hope that my character is never just some saint, you know? We're going to see some serious consequences upon him, not just the baby, but some really, really big life-altering consequences that he goes through that is going to make him change in a drastic way because he has to.
Yeah,
because
now he has to find his own place.
Yeah.
Well, he can't hide. You're not hiding behind Stella's sickness anymore. Yeah. You're being seen. Yeah. There is a time and attention for you to be seen now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the next episode, I've been living in the guest house forever. So, so we sell the house, but we have the guest house.
Okay.
And in the next episode, I start teaching my dad how to pick up women.
That's very exciting. Yeah.
Trailer. It was my favorite episode to shoot. It's so fun.
That's the one that Bree's in.
Yeah.
Bree Blair comes in. Yeah.
Yeah, she's so great.
She's so great.
Very crazy, stupid love.
So fun. Yeah. I like that movie.
It's fun.
I'm so excited.
One of the other themes that I felt like was really relevant this episode is the idea of marriage. And are like, what does it mean to be happy? Can you be happy in a marriage? I feel like, you know, Stella actually goes to her sister and asks, like, you know, what does
real
that look like?
Versions.
Yeah, what do you guys think of that as far as...
Well, we've got so many examples on the show. Exactly. Marriage, somebody's having an affair, you know, your parents or what's happening. Yeah. And then, you know, Brooke. Yeah, there's so many different examples.
Not going well for anybody.
The mom said to Wes, she was like, you're asking me? Like, look at where my marriage is. I feel like there's different marriage. Everybody has a different marriage, which I do like, because that dynamic shows that everyone has different marriages. Mm-hmm.
I think that's representative of real life. I think that two people into a marriage all have their different idea or ideals of what that commitment is. Like, so I think however you can sustain two people living together, doesn't matter what sex you are, how long you've been married, it's a partnership. And how do you make that work? How do you ebb and flow when people mess up? Because they're always going to mess up. Or they're growing, and how do you grow together, or do you not? Like, I think that the show is representing all different ways in which you evolve in a partnership.
Yeah.
I feel like they have a really good lesson of showing that on the show, because a lot of people have like this vision of marriage, of it being perfect, two kids, go with the flow, everything's happy, you know, but they have so many different issues that they're hitting on the head. So, I mean, and they're hitting all of them, not all of them, but a good portion of them that represented. So.
And I think marriage, which Wes and Stella's relationship really is starting to do, a good partnership or marriage is you're just a mirror for the other person. So you see their weaknesses, you see how they can improve. So I think that this whole season with Wes and Stella, you'll really get a good idea of what it's like to be in a real marriage and discover each other.
Yeah. Well, we're really excited to see where the relationships are going and where all these relationships and everything is going. So do we have any predictions for the show of what's going to be happening next week?
Maybe.
Could you tell us some predictions, please?
I want to hear your predictions.
I want to hear your guys' predictions.
And we can vote.
Right. I just want to know if Marlene's baby is really Aiden.
Okay. That was going to be my prediction. Wow. I was going to say that Marlene's baby isn't Aiden's. I actually think it's your husband's.
I
think that's why. Yeah. And I think that's going to. Because you're married. And you thought you were using birth control this whole time, and you haven't. So I think that's going to help Aiden kind of like, because when you find out that you're going to have a baby, you probably get super excited. And then you're like, you start preparing yourself for something, and then you realize, like, that's gone too.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why.
You want to see Aiden really hit rock bottom.
Well, I want to see him hit rock bottom again, because now, first it was with the cat. then it was his sister, and now it's like he's having a baby, but is the baby actually his?
But did they ever even reveal that she's having sex with her husband? Maybe that's because maybe she started messing with
Eden. Wise beyond your years.
Because I haven't gotten pregnant yet. Right? We don't know. So. Could be shooting blanks over there, maybe. Or not shooting at all.
Yeah.
Shooting somewhere else.
So the prediction for some of the people on here, they think that Stella. Yes. And Wes, that they're not going to make it, and Stella's going to have an affair.
Oh, no.
Everyone's down to having affairs.
Right.
Is that what's
what
most
they want
interesting
to happen?
What do you want to happen? Actually, no, they're all against adultery. They all say it's terrible.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
So, yeah. They're
yeah.
not for
it
that.
Is. I do think it's a weak way out.
Yeah.
For the sake of the show.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not.
For the show, it's kind of fun.
It's pretty fun. I think Dad's pickup game is going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I know. Aren't you so excited?
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know right now.
Aiden's
if I can...
a good teacher.
I am. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. He's got a 100% success rate with women.
Yeah. I would like to see Aiden take Ida out and figure out, like, and show her how to date.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So I like that.
That'd be fun.
You always see the dad, or you kind of sometimes see the dad and the son, but I would like to see Peter and, or not Peter, Aiden and, and Ida.
Yeah. I would like to see Aiden teach both of them at the same time, like on the same chick, and like take turns.
Oh,
to say,
oh my
God! Yeah. Yeah.
This is not the CW.
Yeah. This is no longer the CW.
That's not the way to say.
I like that.
My prediction is that you're gonna take the dad out. It's gonna be amazing, and it's gonna be fun, and then you're gonna get him to a lot of trouble. And maybe he ends up in jail. Or you end up in jail or something like
that. Or maybe you don't like it. Maybe you don't like what you've done to your dad and you realize
Aiden's gonna like that. Because you gotta think, this is the first opportunity he's ever had in his life to bond with his father.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're gonna do it so well.
I'm gonna try hard.
Yeah.
He's like, this is redemption time.
Right. Yeah.
This is what you're good at.
Son status.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, guys, before we wrap up the show, I have two questions to ask you. The first one is, if you found out that tomorrow was your last day, what would it be, like, what would you do?
I mean, that could make me cry immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I would get everyone that could be here in time together, and I guess Skype my family in. And
would you tell them that you were going to die?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Say, yo, I'm going to peace out shortly. So open a bottle of wine.
And let's celebrate.
Let's catch up on some memories.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Ooh. I have a daughter, so I think I would just spend as much precious time with her and then do little capsules of every tidbit of information I could put into a video for her so that she can watch me as she grows.
I'd definitely die with my cat in my arms.
Yeah. And for the last question,
Clarence, he is a cat guy, which is so amazing. When that episode happened, I was like, he really would be. You would
and my
be
cat,
destroyed.
You have no idea.
Follow
I
him
cried
on Instagram.
For an hour straight, weeping, sobbing, grown man, ugly crying, reading the script for Reinventing the Abbots because my cat is sick and has been sick ever since he's a baby. And I have to give him steroids every day.
Wow.
You really cried. Like in the episode, your tears were
real.
Yeah.
That was a tame take.
They told me to dial it down a lot. I'm like, no, I'm not going to dial this down because my cat died of cancer and it's her dying of cancer to me.
Oh. Yeah.
So we found a happy medium. but, you know, I thought we should have went for the gusto. But it's kind of hard to watch if that happens. but so that was very
cat lover.
Too close to home almost.
Wow. Yeah.
You die with Clarence in your arms.
Yeah.
Clarence.
Yeah. See that. And Claudia holding her hand.
Holding Claudia's hand. But Clarence.
Baby.
Well, one last question is, if you could describe Life Sentence in one hashtag, what would it be?
what the amazing hashtag that we've been using.
Superlative.
Superlative.
Okay.
The most.
The most superlative.
The most superlative.
Superlative is just, it's the most, you know, it's like anything.
Extraordinarily normal.
I like that.
Oh, wow. Mm.
I like
extraordinarily
that.
What I wish was normal.
Yeah.
I wish that more families could be this open and honest with their faults and messiness and use humor to get by it. Because that's the only way that we evolve in a family and a relationship. Mm-hmm. So extraordinarily normal.
Definitely. Let's start these hashtags.
Yeah, definitely.
Superlative.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. It was so much fun having you guys on set. So can you tell our audience where they can see you, when they can find you on social media?
At Alicia Oxy, so A-L-Y-S-H-I-A, phonetically never correct, O-C-H-S-E.
You should tell them about the podcast, too.
Oh, yes. And tune in to, I have that one audition podcast. It's on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's journeys and audition stories and survival skills for Hollywood influencers and storytellers. So basically how they got to where they are. All your lovable, awesome peoples. Jason's going to do it soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Jason Blair. You can find me at that name, Jason with a Y, J-A-Y-S-O-N, Blair.
Real quick, and somebody did ask, why is your name spelled that way?
Because he's amazing. Because he's superlative. At least it's phonetic. It's phonetic.
They knew there would be something different about me.
Yeah.
And there is. There's a Y in there. Yeah.
Clearly he's gotten this question before, so now he knows how to answer.
Absolutely.
Monique, where can they find you?
Oh, you can find me everywhere at Miss Mo Loveless. That's M-S and then Mo, and then y'all get the Loveless. So.
Breaking hearts.
Breaking hearts.
I know, that's why I'm single. But, but yes, and also you can find me every Tuesday at The Voice. It's 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. No, we're 9 p.m. actually. Sorry. Yeah. At The Voice here in the studio every Tuesday at 9 p.m.
Hi, guys. You can find me on all social media at Suzanne Quast.
Hey, guys. I'm Maddie Makeley, and you can find me on all my social media at Maddie_Makeley.
And hey, guys. I'm your host, Carla Beltran. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can find me on Instagram at IamCarlaBeltran or on Twitter at Carla Beltran with an R at the end. And, of course, don't forget to follow AfterBuzz TV on every single social media network at AfterBuzz TV. See you guys later. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Watch next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.